Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Happy Wednesday. Hot as hell out there. Tomorrow is going to be even worse, 96 with a heat index of like 106 or 108, and it'll break by the weekend, but you know, it's got to get through the next couple of days. Matt Pauly joins us from the sports department. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
And I want to compliment you. I like supporting my buddies, and I'm not saying that you were good the other night on the play-by-play as if you were a 12-year-old make-a-wish kid. That's not what I'm saying. It was just so cool to be up in the booth, and there's Ricky, and there's my pal Matt. And then as I was leaving the stadium, they play KMOX over the loudspeakers, and I'm listening to you, and I'm like, this is so cool. I was just so happy for you.
Well, thank you. You know, it's we have such amazing broadcasters in John and Rick and Klaibs, and it's not too often that two of those guys are unavailable on a single night, and on that rare chance for them to think of me to fill any of their seats, it's a humbling ask, and I'm happy to fill their seats for a night or two, but it's not lost on me that I was doing play-by-play on the St. Louis Cardinals radio network.
Hell yeah, brother.
There are so many people who get into this industry, and like what I do without ever doing play-by-play for the Cardinals, I already have like a top 1% job in all of sports broadcasting. And then the chance, you know, that I've been able to do a handful of games over the years, and I get to do the spring training games on the stream, like, oh, that is so cool. It's awesome. So I'm humbled by the fact that they think enough of me that when our really, really good broadcasters are unavailable for any reason, I get to fill a seat for a night or two.
Matt, walk me through the prep. Not so much like I read this and I read that. More emotional. Like when you're about to go on the air, what do you do to kind of go, okay, here we go?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a religious person. So generally before every broadcast, I'll take a moment and kind of close my eyes and be thankful for the opportunity, and also pray that I do a good job, because it would kill me if, like, not kill me, but you know, I mean, if, yeah, I blew something in a big time way, that wouldn't be good. So I do that before just about every game that I'm ever on, because of the stature of that broadcast. I want to make sure that I respect what that broadcast is, and not an embarrassment to the St. Louis Cardinals radio network. So that's one thing. You know, Friday was a heavy lift in terms of sports broadcasting, not a heavy lift in terms of people who have real jobs. But Friday was a heavy lift because I was still doing the pre and the post game show. So like all the stuff you hear on the pregame show, whether it's like replay segments or audio cuts from players in the clubhouse, I cut up and I put all that together myself. So I was trying to work on all of that and get that done before I even got to filling out my scorebook and everything. I had the Ali interview that we need to do in the pregame and everything. And then even the postgame, I was doing Friday Night Live. So I had to, in the ninth inning, I left the booth early to run across the street to Cardinal Nation because I had to be ready to do the regular postgame show before the Friday Night Live show started. So we had to have all that good to go. And that like warm up for me to get ready for that, I generally start that in like the seventh inning, and I had a half inning to do what I normally do there. And then it was funny, we got done with Friday Night Live and I still had the extra inning show. So everybody's leaving Cardinals Nation and they're looking at me like, what are you doing? It's like, I got another show to host here. I'll see you guys tomorrow. So I don't know. I don't know if that answers the question, yeah, but that was kind of the behind the scenes of Friday. Saturday was a little bit easier because Joe Pott was handling pre and post game. So it was more focused on the play-by-play broadcast.
Yeah, that is, that's impressive, dude. And you're talking to a guy that has done 4 hours a day every weekday for 26 years, and I will complain about it so people think I'm tough. but like when you have to be up all night, like I know you do a lot, like that's rough.
It's not. I mean, it's tough in the moment, but again, I am so incredibly blessed, and there are probably 99% of the people who are listening right now have much tougher, you know, jobs than I do. So I'm not, I'm very grateful for what I get to do for a living.
So my two favorite shows in the station, Redbird Rush Hour, Sports on the Sunday. You guys don't get to do Rush Hour last night and tonight, so why don't you guys just take over this segment and do what you do?
Kevin?
Hmm? What are we going to do? Are we doing the show?
What is wrong with him? It's not,
I don't know.
It's not me. It's not me, right?
I thought you were asking Matt a question.
Rach, James, it's not me.
If you were going to do Rush Hour tonight, what would be on your mind that you wanted to
do? Do a mini Rush Hour.
Kevin, I don't know, but I'll lead off here. I don't know if you saw Bernie's piece that he wrote for STL Sports Central earlier today. He cited since April 10th, the top five fielding independent ERAs among National League starters, and the list goes like this. Jacob Mizorowski, Christopher Sanchez, Paul Skeens, Chris Sale, Dustin May. I think that's notable.
Yeah, I think May is probably one of the biggest stories of the year. I mean, he's got a 289 ERA since that second start, right? His first two starts were awful, but now in 11 starts, he's now pitching like an all-star. And, you know, whether you're going to, you know, I know that, what was it last week, Matt? Was it Friday that we talked about it? Maybe on or off the air, the people that are, oh, no, it was, I can't remember when it was, because there was a note in a Bob Nightingale piece that mentioned that the Cardinals could still trade Jojo Romero and Dustin May if they were to fall out of the wild card race. Well, and to me, like, okay, duh, of course, pending free agents could get traded if you fall out. But right now, you're in the top wild card spot, and I think we talked about it maybe off the air a little bit. I don't know how, if you're in this position, you could trade Dustin May. If you're in a position, a wild card position at the deadline, I don't know how you can trade the guy that's your best pitcher.
All I would say is I generally agree with what you're saying, leaving open the possibility that the organization has not changed what their goal here is to really be a team that can be self-sustaining.
Well, they haven't said so yet.
Right.
But it's because they don't have to make a decision now. In a month, if they're where they are now, I would be floored if they did that.
Okay. All I would say is if they're in the spot they're in right now, I would be mildly surprised, but I would also have to wait and see what the return is, because I think if they are given that offer, that is just this ridiculous, crazy, franchise-altering type offer, top, you know, multiple top 100-level prospects or something crazy like that, I don't think they turn it down.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen. You're not getting that for Dustin May. You're not getting that for Tarek Skubal. He might get traded next month. He's not getting multiple top 100 prospects. Not for a 2-month rental. He might get a top 100 and some really good ones, but Tarek Skubal's like 10 levels above Dustin May.
So if you get a Tarek Skubal kind of offer for Dustin May, that's the point that I'm trying to make.
Well,
if it goes crazy at the trade deadline and there is a team that is just convinced that they are a Dustin May away from being a World Series contender, then they're still going to be open to trading him. That's all I'm trying to say.
I will state today and place money on it that there will never be a trade offer for May that is similar to Skubal. And by the way, if I'm with you, if in that wild-ass case it were to happen, I would say yes, of course. But I'm saying, like, practically speaking, teams are not doing that for a 2-month rental for a guy that's had an injury history like Dustin Mays. And given that, how much would... I want you to answer this, too, because you are much more, like, you go to games more than... You know, when Matt and I go, we're working. Like, you go as a fan... The atmosphere at the ballpark is so much better than it's been. Fans are excited. You've got tarps off. You've got energy. Ticket sales are going up. Obviously, this past weekend, the ticket sales were much higher than the team was expecting. Matt and I were talking about that the other day off the air. You're selling more tickets. You've got atmosphere. And if you were to trade off the guy that's been your best pitcher since his second start, when you're in a wild card spot, I think you just get rid of all of that goodwill. I think everybody bails on you because you're telling them you're not trying.
It's such a fine line. I think I'm one of the more knowledgeable fans. I'm certainly more into it than a lot of fans. And I'm not saying that they're stupid. They just, it's like going to Six Flags. Let's go to the ball game. I can see why they would absolutely condense the last 5 years into a very short period of time and go, see, I knew it.
Right. And I think, and Matt, if fans were rational, most fans, some fans are, some fans are not. If most fans were just like focused on the future, then you might get away with it. But given where you're coming from, and what the vibe has been the last few years, to take a team that would, and again, this is all a big if because we don't know. They could fall out of it in the next 6 weeks, and then we don't even have to worry about it. We'd be talking about who's going to buy Dustin May. Who's going? Because if they fall out, well, then, yes, you're going to trade those guys, and you're probably going to trade Newt, and you're probably going to look to move some other people too. But they've already done such great work deepening the farm system and bringing in talent in the trades from this past offseason and in the past couple of drafts. I'm not sure the desperation is there to load up the farm system more than it would be to continue the good vibes at the moment. What does it do to your clubhouse? Forget what it does to your fans. What does it do to the clubhouse if a month from now you're in this position and you trade your best pitcher? And look, I know McGreevy's numbers are better than Dustin May's total. Dustin May's the better pitcher right now.
Yeah, if you're in a playoff series tomorrow, Dustin May is your number one starter without a doubt. And I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I do. The only, and I'm not trying to throw any cold water on anything. It is worth noting the Cardinals right now. What are they? Are they 36-28? Is that they're 36-28. Last year on Saturday, June 7th, the Cardinals' record was 36-28.
Yeah,
they have the exact same record as they did at this time last year, and we saw what ended up happening. So these conversations are fun. They're early.
Right.
They're really early.
That's the number one. Really, the number one takeaway, because you know when Bob Nightingale throws that note in there, it's innocent. It's not meant to stir things up because it was one small note near the bottom of a long column, like with a bunch of different team notes. But it got blown up on Twitter. People just took that one little clip and like Cardinals could still trade May and Romero. Well, sure, if they fall out, but like we're 6 weeks away from knowing that.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's part of what like drives me crazy about the news aggregators and a lot of the people that are out there just engagement farming is they're going to take the part of the note which left in the caveat if they fall out. Well, in all of the aggregators, they left that part off.
Yeah.
They just put in they could still trade May and Romero. Well, yeah, they could.
Yeah.
And if the team falls apart, then they should. Absolutely.
I think that should be illegal, by the way. Like,
you should
not be able to cite somebody where there's clear context taken.
Agreed. Yeah,
that should get you terrible.
A punch. Yep.
Yeah, and not just in sports, like across our entire world. If somebody says, if something, something, something happens, then something, 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 you can't get rid of the if and just go with the then. You have to include both. Yesterday, social media, or whenever this was, 2 days ago, whenever the Nightingale, it was a complete cesspool on Cardinals social media because people were running with this quote, which wasn't real at all, and it frustrates the living you-know-what out of
it. Yeah, and it wasn't the intent of Bob Nightingale to stir it up.
No.
You guys are listening to the Cardinal Report, sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings Experience in Westport. I'm going next week and build me a brand new glove, Matt Pauly.
Sorry, I forgot to ask
you. Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Infield, outfield?
Infield.
All right.
11 and a half.
All right.
Black, red accents.
Ooh.
Ramjet on it, number 22. Pretty sweet.
I'm going to borrow it.
Thank you, Matt.
You bet.
I am not mad, but you are playing none of my music.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You know, I got thrown off because you had Hair of the Dog as one of the priests and the rabbi segment songs.
On.
And I was like, I don't feel super comfortable.
Hey, would have rocked to that. They're both cool.
I'm sorry. I should have played Traveling Band here. That would have been nice.
I think the Monsignor would enjoy Everyone is Kung Fu Fighting.
That was also that's when I deviated from the list. So I was like, it just doesn't feel right.
I was watching a TikTok last night. Do you know what a paramotorist is? It's just like, you know, you've seen him. It's the guy on, it looks like a go-kart with a big fan behind it, and then he's got a parachute.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So these guys can go really high.
I know. They're crazy.
And I saw a guy last night, and he seemed to be thousands of feet above the clouds. And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And I was like, you'll never do that.
Oh, no.
You'll never do that.
I mean, I guess if you have a parachute as a backup, it's not the craziest thing.
No. I will never do that.
Yeah. I'm going to put myself on the damn near never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's so many things like that. Then I mean,
you're in a go-kart.
Right? Above the clouds. A guy on one of those got hit by a plane a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere I can get hit by a plane.
There was a lady that got hit by the one.
Yeah.
Was that the lady? It was like Austria or something like
yes.
that?
Yeah. Yes.
What the hell?
And then I saw, I guess I watched it long enough that they're like, this guy
she
loves
survived,
the X Games.
By the way.
She did.
Yeah.
This, I think this was legit. It didn't look like AI, but it was a four-year-old bungee jumping off like a gorge.
Whoa.
Which I wouldn't think would be legal, but...
They seem like they'd be too small.
I mean...
And maybe not able to comprehend the training.
Yes.
I mean, like, some obviously would be able to, but it that feels like, you know, even if your four-year-old is ready for the tattoo, maybe you wait a couple of years. Like, it just feels like a big risk.
Yeah, that's not a great idea.
Yeah. It's being reported that Marco Rubio is going to sign a deal with the UFC to take the UFC to other countries as a form of American diplomacy.
Interesting.
Why?
This administration loves the UFC, man.
So it just sounds like we're paying the UFC now.
Pretty much.
What that sounds like.
Well, I mean, Dana White's a big supporter.
And that's the lawsuit
right.
that some people think may stop it.
Really?
Because, and I don't understand the legalities of this at all, but basically saying this is a private, for-profit event that is inappropriate for the White House grounds.
I mean, I would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
I would.
Like, we shouldn't be doing private for... Now, if you were doing it all for free, like, hey, we're donating. We're going to pay the fighters out of our own pocket. Like, all right. I mean, even then, it's tacky as hell, but, I mean, at least it would be not using the well, I mean, how would we even qualify... I mean, like, how would you even describe the White House? The most sacred ground in the country?
Yes.
Using that for... You know, entertainment. I don't care if it's UFC or baseball or whatever. I feel the same way, whatever sport it is.
So it's on June 14th. That's the president's literal birthday.
Yeah.
It's
what a quinky dink.
On his birthday. Oh, come on.
I finally saw the video you guys were telling me about with Kim Kardashian blowing off.
Oh, my God.
The journalist. What a... You suck.
Yes.
She does
yes. You're a bad person.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how beautiful you are or think you are or how famous or who you can date or that you're a billionaire. You're a human, and another human who belonged on the paddock was trying to engage you. You can politely tell him you're not there to be interviewed.
Right.
You suck. Welcome back, DGS and KMOX 437. The game is 6:10, so the pregame will start about 5:15. This made me laugh last night. Just a stupid thing I saw on TikTok. Chick-fil-A tastes like the chickens grew up in a nice neighborhood with both parents. KFC tastes like their chickens grew up in a trailer park, and dad went to get milk and scratch-off tickets and never came back.
Jeez.
Yikes. I like KFC.
That's pretty harsh.
I think KFC tastes delicious.
I don't think that KFC tastes like sadness.
No, I like it. But I get what they're saying.
I'm going to be honest. I would rather take in a piece of well done, like, you know, they put their heart and soul into that original recipe KFC. Yeah. I'd rather eat that than a filet from Chick-fil-A.
Oh, no.
Well.
Now you've evidently gone too far.
I like the greasier, like, saltier.
I get it.
That's what I gravitate towards more when it comes to my fried chicken. Chick-fil-A is delicious. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going KFC.
The raptor sound effects in Jurassic Park were created from audio samples of tortoises having sex.
The sample for what?
The raptors in Jurassic Park.
World.
Tortoises.
They make that noise?
Evidently. They may have, like, played with it a little bit.
Like
the sound people, not the tortoises.
Yeah, played with the sound, right? The audio file.
Tom Hanks says that he, Martin Short, and Steve Martin... get together the night before they all have colonoscopies and compete to see who is the last one to use the bathroom.
They're in the same home doing this?
It sounds like
it. They said they get a party. Like they hang out.
I'm sorry, that's weird.
It's weird that you schedule them on the same day.
It's even one thing to be like, we got a group text and we're like, I'm going. But it's like, we know we all need to physically be in the same place.
But I'm not going to lie, that sounds like a pretty good competition. Who can hold out the longest?
Dean Cain, remember him? Superman, now Super MAGA.
Oh, yeah.
He, I don't know how Twitter works, but someone said something about the young woman who is playing Supergirl is chopped and ugly, and she looks like Chaka from the Land of the Lost, and he basically co-signed it, so now there's a big thing going on.
She's really pretty.
I mean, yeah, I'd say that that's a very odd thing to say about someone who is being cast in movies.
She's a professional actress.
Because she's good looking.
You know what else people
are? Especially, look, like Dean Cain, come on, dude. You're a talentless hack. You were on one TV show ever that anybody watched, and it wasn't good. And now you want to sit back and talk about other people and blame your career problems on your politics. It's because you suck, man.
Yeah, we didn't know that you were MAGA in the 80s when your career ended.
He was a good-looking dude who had no ability to act. That's what it was.
I promise this is real. People are also criticizing her because she has pierced ears and Supergirl has bulletproof skin. So they should have cast someone who did not have their ears pierced.
I mean, does she wear earrings in the movie?
Casting a four-year-old?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, she could have pierced him with kryptonite or something.
There you go.
I mean, as long as she doesn't wear earrings in the movie.
I mean, it's like, yeah.
Who cares?
Boy, you are really, really sold and bought into the factual details of fake comic book lore.
This isn't how Supergirl really happened. It didn't really happen like that when it happened in real life.
She couldn't have earrings. Maybe they're clip-ons.
There you go. Maybe
they're just clip-ons, little
cute
magnet ones.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not actually going through the super person skin.
You know how I haven't gone to the dentist much and I'm worried about, you know, the next time I do?
Yes.
Japan, it's always freaking Japan. Wow. They're just geniuses. They have supposedly, it's like a real thing, I found multiple articles on this. They figured out a way how in 4 months, I think it's 4 months, you regrow your teeth.
What?
And it's basically, we were made to regrow, multiple sets of teeth.
Okay.
But there's an enzyme or a protein or something that blocks it. And Japanese scientists have figured out a way to remove that. And so they're growing teeth like crazy in animals. And I guess they've done some human testing and it works.
Huh.
But they say maybe we're a few years away from it being out there and available. But yeah.
Awesome.
Brand new twofers.
I'd like to just redo my whole bottom row, so if we could get those growing, that'd be nice.
It'd be a rough 4 months.
Maybe I would do like a couple at a time or something, rather than the whole row.
Yeah, that'd be kind of, yeah. Can we just do one?
Friday's a big day for Elon Musk. It's the day he is set to become the world's first trillionaire because SpaceX has its IPO and blah, blah, blah.
Well, let's hope he can deliver.
Hope he trips. Falls down the steps. Just the short steps, like three of them, so he just gets a little bruise.
What does he spend all of his money? Doesn't he not even have a house? Wasn't that his thing for a long time?
Yeah.
I just sleep on people's couches. Yeah. Like, okay, so what is all that money doing? What are you doing with that?
By the way, on that note, did you see the Mr. Beast thing on this?
No.
Because he's worth something like a billion or something like that. And he's like, well, I would just say I'm a paper billionaire. It's not like I have $1 billion. And everybody's like, yeah, that's just called being a billionaire.
Right.
Right. You have.
Very few people have a billion in cash. Rather.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Mr. Beast does this annoying thing where he's like, as soon as I make a profit, I just turn it around into my next investment. But then he makes it sound like he has no choice but to do that, and that's the only thing he could do. It's like, you could just make one more video and retire and live the rest of your life and be just fine. Like, it's presented as if, like, what else am I supposed to do?
Want to hear the newest, most annoying term or phrase?
Yeah, maxing.
Blue MAGA. With Plattner getting in and, you know, running against Collins for Senate. And he's kind of crusty and dusty and pulled a lot of shenanigans. And people are saying, it's Blue MAGA.
So is this supposed to be like their Dark Brandon nonsense?
Yes, yes.
Oh, for God's sake.
I mean, miss me with that.
Yeah,
I
miss me with all of it.
Don't need any
and
of
also,
that.
Yeah, miss me too.
Miss me with the people that are mad about, like, and I'm not talking about Democrats. I'm talking about people that are on the right that are mad. Like, how'd you get behind this guy? How'd you get behind your guy?
Well, and also, I didn't get behind him. I didn't vote for
this
guy.
He's just some dude in Maine, another state. Yeah, most people are like, yeah, that guy's an ass. Let's not talk
to the people in Maine. Like, I have nothing to do with this. I don't like him. I wish he wouldn't have just gotten elected. I think people can change, but he made several mistakes that it's like, yeah, you don't get to be in Congress if I get to make the decision.
It appears that those things are now becoming a feature rather than a bug in the world of politics.
Ah, the Nazi tattoo.
The outsider. I'm not just your normal politician. I'm a troublemaker. Oh, good. Can't wait for more of you.
Yeah, that's what I was saying the other day when I was talking about cute candidates. Troublemaker's a better one.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of over that.
Yeah.
We did it. We tried it. It backfired. Nah.
I mean, it's okay to be the... sorry, this is going to sound very self-serving. It's okay to be the loud guy that's going to be like making your point heard and be aggressive and not sit back. But the other stuff is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, because it's like, what happens when everyone starts doing it? Then we have no order. We have no standards.
New polling out from Europe. What percentage of Europeans polled would you say currently consider the United States an ally?
40.
2.
11.
What?
Whoa, dude.
11% of Europeans polled consider the U.S. an ally.
That's pretty bleak.
That's very bleak.
That sucks.
Also, last night I watched a TikTok of a big fish eating a little fish, and it really upset me. I'm like, that little fish is just inside that big fish now.
Not for long.
What's the name of the movie? Whale Maxing?
Whale Maxing. If that's not a movie, it's going to be. Welcome back, guys. DGS 452. News and top of the hour, taking it into the pregame, and then the Cardinals play tonight at 6:10. I like the early games.
I love the early games.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I'm sure. You know who else does? Matt Pauly.
You must feel weird driving home at 5.
It's weird as hell.
Yeah.
It's super weird. I'm like, something's wrong.
Way worse traffic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you leave here at 6 o'clock, it's pretty smooth sailing at that point.
Yeah. Rachel, what do you got?
Okay, I have a new psycho diet trend, of course, driven by TikTok. I've heard of a lot of these, but this one seems kind of crazy. It's called the gelatin trick. Have you guys heard of this?
No.
Okay, so...
anything that's called a trick, probably not a great idea.
Right, the trick to lose weight. I feel like there's a pretty clear formula for that. Anyway, the idea is simple. You mix gelatin powder with water, and then you chug a glass of it before meals. And this is supposed to help you feel full and curb your hunger so that you're eating less. Because the theory is the liquid makes it to your stomach and then the gelatin kind of starts to solidify.
Wow.
I don't know how true that is.
I was going to say, does that actually work when it's in your stomach acid?
I don't think it does.
I'm not saying it doesn't because I don't know. I'm just asking.
So they're saying like the reason why it might feel like it works for maybe a half hour or so is just because you're drinking a high volume of liquid. Like people have done this with glasses of water for like all of time. Yeah. Just drink water before you have your dinner and you'll feel a little bit
more full.
Do
you remember the bride's diet?
I don't remember exactly what that was.
It was from about 10, maybe even 15 years ago. But brides-to-be who wanted to lose 10 pounds... would go in and have a medical procedure where they had a feeding tube snaked up their nose into their stomach, and it would give them like 500 calories a day. And
just
they
keeping
would,
them alive,
and
basically.
They would wear that thing for like 10 days prior to their wedding.
Ugh, sounds awful.